Aldo Leopold is probably the name that first comes to mind when people think of wildlife conservation and Wisconsin. But as we're about to hear, there are many more naturalists who have played big roles in the effort to study, preserve, improve, and communicate about the natural world here in Wisconsin. Sumner Madison, an ecologist with the Wisconsin DNR, started recording interviews with some of our state's naturalists while he spent time with them in the field beginning 40 years ago. Madison has compiled these interviews along with some of the naturalists' own writings in a new book. It's called A Field, Portraits of Wisconsin Naturalists, Empowering Leopold's Legacy, Volume 1. Sumner joins us in the studio. Welcome back to Central Time.
Pleasure to be here, Rob.
Well, this is the product of a lot of work. What first led you 40-ish years ago to say, hey, I need to capture these naturalists in their own voices?
Yeah, at the age of 27, Sigurd Olsen, well-known writer at the time, invited me up to his cabin on Listening Point. So I spent a day with him, talked to him about his life with my Marantz portable tape recorder, and I got kind of the idea coming away from that it would be great to talk to other naturalists. I should say that, however, this idea probably originated when I was a high school student.
Wow.
And at one point, I thought, what would it be like to sit around a campfire and talk with John Muir about his life? So its origins go quite far back.
Most of the naturalists you profile, you were able to talk to, we have some of their more recent writings. You go back a little further, though, to people like Increase Lapham, who we hear through the voice of letters he wrote to his family members.
Right. Some people think I was around at that time as well. But, yeah, I started with Increase. He was really the first pioneering naturalist, a self-trained ecologist, if you will. And he was really a remarkable individual coming to this place, coming to Wisconsin before it was a state back in 1836. And he has just some remarkable anecdotes, remarkable stories about the times. And I forgot, although I, you know, you know that the times were so much different. But I basically forgot that the mode of transportation was by horseback, by stagecoach, and then later by train, and also the level of the life expectancy was quite short, late 40s, 49, 48, 49. And infant mortality was very high, and the Lapham family was certainly not immune to that.
Now, in just a couple of moments, I'll ask you to give a reading from in the voice of one of the people you talked to. But I want to talk about kind of the mental toolkit of the naturalist. It keeps coming up again and again, this love for the natural landscape of Wisconsin in this case, but also this incredible eye for detail and rigor and ability in many cases to draw or describe it with amazing precision. What goes into being a naturalist?
Yeah, so I would say in the book there are probably three takeaway themes. One is that early exposure interactions with the outdoors were pivotal to influencing a naturalist's path. Secondly, a guiding influence or mentor and or literature read early on were important to encouraging or fostering a career or avocation as a naturalist. And thirdly, each possessed really an unquenchable curiosity for and desire to know more about Wisconsin's natural history. But as part of that, I guess three threads. One is that each one is definitely an accurate and meticulous field observer. Mm-hmm. Secondly, an inspired, tenacious worker, and thirdly, and very importantly, an effective and influential communicator.
Well, let's give a listen to one of them now. You've got a reading for us from George Knutson. Set us up a little bit about George Knutson and his role in the history of naturalism in Wisconsin.
Sure. George grew up north of the Wisconsin Dells near Easton, and so he observed natural history at the Wisconsin Dells when his family moved closer to the river. And he was actually asked to lead individuals on tours. He was quite well known for his turtle collection and his insect collection. He was a longtime observer of natural history on his own, but then he became involved with the Department of Natural Resources. And between the 1950s and early 1960s, he studied black bears and beaver and otter. And I'd like to read to you one of his favorite stories about black bears.
About bears, yes.
One of my favorite stories involves a bear at the Dairy Farm Resort up by Boulder Junction. There was a dump right behind the resort that bears used, so we thought we'd come up and try to live trap around the dump. They were open dumps in those days. The tourists staying at the resort knew we were coming somehow. People came up to tell us about the big tracks, the little tracks, about the weight of this one and that one. We told them that maybe we would come back in a few days and set one of our big culvert traps. So we did. We drove in. The tourists saw us coming, and the whole dang bunch got into their cars. Some walked down from the resort down to the dump. We must have had 15 to 20 people down there. When we approached the dump, there was a bear there that was a pretty tame old gal. I turned to Dewey. Dewey was his field assistant, nicknamed Dewey. His real name was Alvin Yeager. I turned to Dewey and said, "Gosh, there's only that one tree. Maybe if I chase her up that tree, you know, maybe she'd go up there and we can get her without even trapping her." So I took off out of the truck. People started yelling and clapping. Me after the bear. The bear scootered up, out and up the dang tree just as nice as could be. So here's the bear sitting up in the tree with no trap, nothing to keep the bear from coming down. But when there's a crowd like that, you know, and you've got a chance to get a bear for free, I thought, heck, it's worth a chance. So I climbed up under this bear with my needle and got right up under her fanny and gave her a little shot. And I have to just pause here and say that this was before there were tranquilizing guns. So this was a hypodermic needle at the end of a long stick.
So you got to get kind of close to the bear.
Yeah. She blew at me, and I thought, boy, if she starts climbing down, she's going to use me as part of that tree. But she just stayed up there, and pretty soon she started quivering. Well, then she started slipping, and down she came right beside me. She was a big one, probably about 180 pounds. I put my arm around her, and both the bear and I skidded down that tree. Those people watching had eyeballs that big watching me, a big Norwegian coming down the tree with that bear. Of course, I couldn't hold 180 pounds. It was mostly a scrambling fall for about 15 feet. The bear was out when we got down there. I was a big hero that day. From that time on, every time I was up in that country club area, people would say, "There's the guy that climbed the tree and got that live bear."
Story from George Knutson, told in Sumner Madison's book, A Field, Portraits of Wisconsin Naturalists, Empowering Leopold's Legacy, Volume 1. Sumner, we're not all going to get out in all weather and be naturalists in the middle of nowhere. We're not all going to climb up that tree, I hope, with the bear. But part of your hope here, I think, is to inspire us to think like naturalists, maybe even in our own backyard.
Yes, I think for young people especially, and people really of all ages, it's very important to get out and to take time, to spend time with nature, to observe as much as they can interactions in the wild between animals, and to observe and to take note of what plants are out there. I think this is a way of enriching one's life. And this book is really, I think, hopefully will inspire people to take stock of our conservation history.
Hey, I wanted to talk about that. We've only touched on a couple of the many names and stories you share in the book. Can you talk about the value of going back and meeting these naturalists from throughout Wisconsin's history?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention them. In addition to Increase Lapham, there was Francis Zerr, George Knudsen, as we've mentioned, Jim Zimmerman, Ruth Hine, Francis and Frederick Hammerstrom, Sam Robbins, George Becker, Lori Otto, Francis Hole, Bill Volkert, Leroy Lentour, Lois Nestle, Marion Moran, Joseph Martin Rose, Michael Van Stappen, Eric Epstein, and, of course, Sigurd Olsen. These are 19 of 49 individuals. This is going to be a three-volume project.
Wow.
So I'm in the middle of writing volume two. But each of these individuals, some known, some not that well known, all have stories to tell. And indigenous people have known for millennia the importance of storytelling and how it really conveys one's history and one's legacy.
So are you working on volume two now as we speak?
I'm working on volume two as we speak.
And you must have so much tape, we call it in the radio business. I guess some of it's probably literally tape still.
Well, the most challenging person in the next chapter is Hugh Iltis, a well-known plant ecologist, very well-known back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. My interview with him comprised basically 30 90-minute tapes.
Wow.
I have to transcribe those and pick out the selections from that from those recordings.
A lot to look forward to there. Sumner, I'm sure we'll talk to you about Volume 2 and Volume 3, but I hope you'll come back and we'll meet some of the other naturalists in Volume 1 still.
Absolutely, you bet.
That's Sumner Madison. We talked to him today about his new book. It's called A Field, Portraits of Wisconsin Naturalists, Empowering Leopold's Legacy, Volume 1. Sumner's going to read from the book, by the way, Friday, February 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Village Booksmith in Baraboo.